I am here today with former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst Matt Hasselbeck. Welcome, Matt.
What's up, Ben? How are you?
We are both, as we were just talking about, fellow Boston suburban dads, just making ends meet over here.
So 2.3 miles away. I just looked at your address to my address. I don't know if that's as a crow flies or what, but seems close.
We'll barbecue in the backyard sometime. But all right, so we're on the BC campus. You're there with your brother Tim. Doug Flutie's there with Darren. Who wins in like a brother competition on like a BC related brother competition?
Well, you obviously don't know Doug Flutie very well. He loses nothing. Like pick up basketball. I remember when I was first in the NFL, maybe my first or second year in the NFL, I was on the Green Bay Packers, and I would come back in the off season and work out at Boston College. And one of the things that we would do to end our workouts, the women's basketball coach at the time, this woman, Kathy Inglese, she had asked myself, Doug Flutie, and kind of some guys in our same boat to come practice against the women's basketball team and to be the scout team, pretend to be UConn women's basketball, or pretend to be, you know, St. John's, or like, you know, one of these schools. And, you know, we're just there giving them a look, you know, like I'm not like aggressively boxing out. I'm actually getting aggressively boxed out. I mean, these girls are really, really good. Doug Flutie, man, he took it so serious. Like, he's up there playing point guard, trying to like pick the point guard's pocket, and just like, he took it so serious, just such a competitive guy. So, and he was the starting quarterback of the Bills at the time. You know, I'm over here just like, I'm on the practice squad of the Green Bay Packers, sixth round pick. Like, I'm just trying not to get, you know, someone hurt. Doug's out there like diving for balls. So I'll give him the advantage just on sheer want to.
All right. Well, if Dan Copen had a brother, maybe I would have included him or some of these other guys. But you guys, Hasselbecks and the Fluties are two Boston College legendary names. And I'm sure it's fun to have that roots. And I know your daughters are, you know, you got family there now and all that. But the in doing some research here, I see that both you and your wife were both struck by lightning. Is this true? On two separate occasions, is this true? And if so, tell me about it.
Now, well, it's sort of true. So on one occasion, the two of us got struck by lightning. So she was my girlfriend. We were dating. We were in college. A girl I grew up with was getting married, marrying a hockey player. This guy named Peter Laviolette, who's actually the head coach of the Washington Capitals now. At the time, I think he was playing for the Providence Bruins and was an Olympic U.S. team guy, captain of the U.S. team. That's back when amateurs were playing in the Olympics in hockey. Anyway, we're at this wedding, and I think 16 of us got struck. I mean, we got zapped. Like, we got electrocuted. And it's... Wow. Every bit of what you might think, like you get electrocuted, and luckily nobody died. We didn't die. My wife, my girlfriend, my now wife, she actually is the one person that spent the night in the hospital because her resting heart rate was so low. But I think she had just run her first Boston Marathon. So it was more like, no, this is just like the normal resting heart rate for her. But it was a tough first call to my now father-in-law. It was, Dr. Greg, this is your daughter's boyfriend. And so we just got struck by lightning.
That is.
It was a little awkward for a first conversation. Luckily, everything worked out.
Well, I'm glad everybody's okay. That is a cool thing to say. You're part of the club, I guess. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. All right, let's get down to business here. So it was interesting, you know, I was thinking about, again, looking at some background to you yourself. I was thinking a lot about Tom, right? You guys both share being a sixth round pick and obviously and starting your career backing up two great quarterbacks, Tom and Drew Bledsoe, and you and Brett Favre, you know, you spent 18 years in a Pro Bowl career. Like, what do you think? Like, do you think part of that, like, one is that chip on the shoulder from being a sixth round pick and then obviously learning from somebody great like Favre. Would you attribute that to a factor of your great success?
I think for sure. I mean, one of the things was just like understanding that on cut day, like any day could have been cut day for a 6th round pick. I just got this text from my my boss, my producer on Sunday NFL Countdown. And I don't know why this gave me such great joy, but maybe this speaks to that chip on your shoulder that you're talking about. He sends me this graphic and he says, 6th round draft picks have a better win percentage in the NFL than 1st round picks. And he sends me a picture, and like obviously Tom Brady is waiting this with his like 230 wins, but it was just like kind of awesome. Like I'm like fired up to see that. And so, yeah, I think that's part of it. And you take nothing for granted. I mean, I remember my first mini camp in Green Bay. I get there and shoot, I mean, the guys I'm competing against, I had pictures of them on my wall growing up on when they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, that just wasn't my experience. So you just don't take anything for granted. And, you know, I think you just sort of work with that beginner's mindset, even though maybe you, I don't know, are the starting quarterback or you're having a bunch of success. And it's certainly something I think that most guys that are drafted on day two are certainly proud of, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, it's crazy what you did with a 6th round pick. And I mean, and you mentioned kind of I feel like football is in your blood. You know, I don't know if everybody knows, but your dad played for the Patriots. He was a tight end. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my time growing up, you know, I was actually born when my dad was playing in Colorado. My parents got married very young and my mom had me when she was 19. And so my parents got drafted to the New England Patriots, had to literally look up New England on a map. You know, there's like, you know, most people around America, they just think of New England as like, oh, you know, all those like little states up there, you know, they get drafted here. I think it was the draft of 77. And my parents bought a house in 78 and they still live in that same house today. But it was New England Patriots. We got traded to the Los Angeles Raiders, won a Super Bowl there, went to the Minnesota Vikings. We were a terrible team, but Archie Manning was the 3rd string quarterback. So me and my brothers would play with Cooper and Peyton Manning on Saturdays. And
so cool.
And then we ended with the New York Giants with Bill Parcells and the great Giants teams with the Lawrence Taylors and the Mark Bavaros. And really had no idea that it was unusual. I just thought it was kind of normal. Like these are just, you know, those are my friends and their dads play in the NFL or coach in the NFL. So that was sort of the experience growing up. Ironically, during that experience, my parents wouldn't let us play organized football. Like tackle football was just out for us. They were like, yeah, golf, you know, do something like that. The problem is we kind of suck at golf. So, you know, like the sport sometimes just chooses you and you don't really have much say in it.
That's interesting. So you, after NFL, you transitioned to joining ESPN, Sunday NFL Countdown. What was that transition like? And I know it can be some athletes have better and others, you know, more difficult time.
Yeah, I had no intention of ever doing anything like that. You know, I really had no intention of even retiring at that point. But I was 40 years old. I think I had started 9 games that year and just got beat up that year. You know, fractured a couple of ribs, sprained my jaw. Like it was just like a tough year, separated my shoulder. And this kind of ESPN approached me with an opportunity to be on the show that Chris Berman was on. And I'm like, Chris Berman, like, are you kidding me? Like, I love that show. I love that. That's the guy I grew up watching. I mean, when I would come home, especially in Seattle, we didn't get much media attention. When I would come home from a game, the first thing I would do is I would turn on ESPN to see Chris Berman's highlights after the game. And so the opportunity to jump on that show and kind of replace at the time, Mike Ditka was coming off and Ray Lewis was coming off between Sunday and Monday night countdowns. I just thought, you know, this is probably the right time to do it. My oldest daughter was starting high school and, you know, it was neat. Like I started there. My first day that I had ever even visited ESPN was my first day of work. Never been there, kind of had the images of it being like this great, huge Hollywood studio. And what I found is it's, you know, like a regional cable network that just exploded and started, I think in my lifetime. So it's certainly cool. Definitely for a sports fan, it's like Disney World to go down there. But there were a lot of things that were just completely different than I expected. Like those SportsCenter cubicle commercials, That's legitimate. Like, that's what it's like. It's really, really like that. So, yeah, it was definitely, I think, a cool first job after playing in the NFL.
That's cool. Well, I know I mentioned every week, but we have this really unique community here at Playing Field. And, you know, I know you're involved in a charity called Charity Water. Tell us more about that and how we can support that.
Yeah, Charity Water is a great organization that we've been involved with for since my time in Seattle. I would have to do the math on how long, but we had the opportunity to join this thing called The Well, which basically pays for and provides finances for all of the overhead of the charity, so that when Charity Water runs a campaign or gets people to donate, their 100% of their donation goes to bringing clean drinking water to people around the world. And so there's over 700 million people in the world that don't have access to clean drinking water. And what we learned is that clean water, access to clean water, changes everything for so many communities, whether that's the infant mortality rate or whether that's the opportunity for young girls to go to school, because a lot of times around the world, it's the girls who are responsible. Their responsibility in the family is to go fetch water, and dirty water at that. So if they don't have to go fetch water, then they're able to learn and go to school. And then obviously a lot of other doors are open to them. So Charity Water to me is such a great organization for a lot of reasons. Their founder, Scott Harrison, is a good friend of ours now. We've been to Malawi, Africa with him and some of the other, you know, one of their well member family, and just an incredible story. He wrote a book called Thirst, which I highly, highly recommend. Great book, great story, true story. And I sometimes describe Charity Water to my friends as the Tesla of charities. Like, their how they run their business and their marketing and their branding and their messaging is just so different than it's ever been done. And quite honestly, I think better than it's ever been done. So yeah, it's a great organization. And we've actually got a big virtual dinner with them on Thursday night this week. And we're really looking forward to it.
Hopefully it's real food on the virtual dinner.
They do such an amazing job. They, like, I think they have actually already sent like the drinks that we're supposed to be making ourselves, food that we're supposed to be making ourselves. Actually, that's on my to-do list today. I gotta get prepped for that. Should be a lot of fun.
That's cool. We'll make sure to include links to Charity Water and all else that you're up to. So, final question to end it is, you know, with your dad being and your whole family being just around football and the NFL, and what's the best advice that you've got from your dad that you carry on with you?
Yeah, I mean, so much advice. Like, I don't even know where I would start. I remember, like, when I first went to to Boston College, Tom Coughlin was my head coach. And my dad gave me, like, real simple things. Like, never walk on the battlefield. Like, always jog. I don't care if it's the slowest jog that you've ever had in your life. You need to be jogging at all times on a football field. Like, things like that. Don't sit on your helmet. Like, those types of I don't know. I guess they're real practical when you're first
respect,
like,
you know, for the game.
Yeah. And it's a weird, in a weird way, like when I went to Seattle and Mike Holmgren was the coach and he had come from the Bill Walsh tree, there are certain things that matter to that Bill Walsh family of coaches. And, like, I don't know why they matter, but they absolutely matter. And, you know, one quick example is just like eye contact and in the huddle and how you break, you know. So if I'm calling up play, if I'm saying, okay, guys, it's green, right, Fox, two X, Y hook on one, ready, break. Like, it can't be like ready, break, you know what? It's gotta be like Fox, two X, Y hook on one, ready, break. Like, the crispness and then breaking that huddle and then maybe having a little bit of tempo to the line of scrimmage, that's stuff that just excites coaches, certain coaches, and they really buy into it. They get very excited about it. And, you know, it's like little things like that, that maybe some people don't think matters, but if it matters to the coach, it should matter to you. And, you know, just like little nuggets like that, I think were very helpful.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. Say hello to our friend Teddy Bruschi over there at ESPN, and we'll be following along for an interesting December, and is when football gets fun. So we'll be tuning into you.
It's like Teddy says, real football starts after Thanksgiving.